Well, guys, you got something to play? You got some music for him? Play some music, maybe.
Good Lord, how I cry. You don't meet your wall, you don't meet your wall till your well run dry. You don't miss your wall, you don't miss your wall till your well run dry. I miss my water, I keep missing my water, I keep missing my water. I want my water, I need my water, I love my water, and I want my water, and I'm a little thirsty now.
As we get up in there and we think about Otis Redding, he's singing a song that was actually written by William Bells, and he recorded that in 65. He would die a couple of years after that in a plane crash, right in the height of his career, right before they released Sitting on the Dock of the Bay, which, quite honestly, they would not have released Sitting on the Dock of the Bay had he not died, because in a way, there was a big argument with him and his record company over that. So all that to be said, that we realize that for us, as he sang right there, he sings the old song of a man who's been unfaithful to his lover and now has come to the conclusion that he kind of liked it better when she was hanging around. I always loved the blues, and I always said the problem with being a blues man for me was I liked my baby to be around. I didn't want to sing about my wife leaving, so it made me a bad blues man. But in this case here, we realize that each of us understand that you don't miss the water till the well goes dry. That's right. That's the way it works. And that's the way that it always has been. And maybe that's why God, in his sovereign wisdom, has always used drought, along with a couple of other things like famine and pestilence, as a way to get our attention, since we as his people have always had a propensity to go for satiation and to quench our thirst with things of this world other than what he's given us. And it's way he, in the book of Deuteronomy, we see that Moses, after he just got through blessing all the people, he's telling them, you're going to go to the promised land. This is what God's going to do. He's going to bless the land. You're going to have all kinds of vegetables. You're going to have all kinds of fruit. You're going to have good-looking wives. You're going to have handsome husbands. All that good stuff's in there, believe it or not. It's good stuff. But then after he gets telling them all that, he says, but, because you didn't serve God, he says, your God, out of joy and gladness of heart, in the great abundance, you'll have to serve your enemies, whom God will send against you. Life will be famine and drought, rags and wretchedness. And then he's going to put an iron yoke on your neck until he's destroyed you. Now, for those of you who have watched Joel Osteen this morning, this is not the message he has preached. So, and you say, my goodness, can you give us something a little bit lighter than Jeremiah? I certainly can. We ain't halfway there yet, but we're getting there. But the point when we look at these things, they really hurt us a little bit. You mean he's going to destroy me, put an iron thing on my neck and all this other stuff? I want us to understand, in essence, what God is telling the people through Moses is that I'm giving you the land. It's yours. But I want you to understand something. You need me to water it. You need me to refresh it. You need me to give life to all that's been given and promised to you. Don't fall in love with the things that you get and forget the one who has been giving it to you. You need your water. Oh, I miss my water. Anybody been feeling that when it comes down? I need my water. And see, serving God and living in his presence is always going to lead us to abundance and fullness. We understand that. But when we go to things of the world to satisfy ourselves, you can understand one of the consequences in your life is going to be that drought. Now, you might say, well, I realize the water rights and all all that's going on in Conroe makes a lot of sense, but I'm not really feeling the drought so heavy as that. I want you to understand, if you ain't felt the drought of the water out there, you ain't tried to water your lawn. But more importantly, there's a drought going on in your life, and we're going to cover some of them here today as we go through the book of Jeremiah, that you understand that the drought is more than just not receiving water. It is the other things that go on. So the first thing we say, thirsting after the world causes drought in our lives. So get that down. Thirsting after the things of the world leads to drought in our lives. It'll cause the drought in our lives, some of you might say as well. Now, as you're writing that down, I'm going to tell you what a drought is. It's a prolonged period of dryness that causes extensive damage to crops and prevents their growth. But it's a prolonged or chronic shortage of something expected or desired. And when you have a drought of something in your life, you're going to understand something. It absolutely will feel like annihilation. Anyone who's ever been dealing with the drought that's going on, who's a farmer or who's raising cattle, you understand something. You cannot get enough water out there to save that which is being damaged, to save the lives of your cattle, of your head, and things like that. And that's what goes on in our lives when we have the drought of other things. So we understand this here with God, that He wants His holy people to desire Him. He's willing to bring discipline through the act of hard times, if you will, in order to get you to really understand something, that He wants you and wants that relationship with you. Do you understand that? You say, well, would He really mess with the weather system? Would He really bring bad things about in order to get me? I don't know. Why don't you ask His Son, Jesus Christ? He was willing to put Him on a cross. He was willing to let that blood flow out on the parched ground that was there to drip down into that soil that would absorb it, this world which was crying out for a Savior. He was willing for His Son to undergo that for you. He's willing for the discipline to come and to get you. And I'm not here to preach that or say it over you or something like that. I'm just saying this here today. When you're going through drought, you might want to stop and go, hold on a second. Where am I? What's going on? What do I need? We see this here in Psalm 63:1. The psalmist said it really good when he said, "You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water." Do you feel that? Because that the psalmist, they write it in such a way that you can feel that in there. My whole body is longing for that. And the only thing that's going to give it to you is what? Water. That's it. He's willing for us to go under this difficult time so that we will long for Him and that we will come to the stream that is there. Jesus answered in John 4:13, He said, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." You may think you're getting what you need from this world. You may think you're getting it from your job. You may think you're getting it from your husband. I know my wife thinks she's getting all she ever needed from her husband because I really supply. But she's missing. But I can't give her what only God can give her. I'm trying to teach her that. But I think she figured it out. But, guys, I'll never forget playing football one time, and I was so thirsty. And someone was over on the sideline. I said, "I got something to drink," and I run over there, and they handed me a Diet Coke, and I drank that Diet Coke. And those who were preparing a sermon with me, I'm not going where you think I'm going. But I just want to say that for me, the first thing that happened when I drank that Diet Coke was my mouth just completely parched up, and I was thirstier than when I started. That's what happens when we try to quench that thirst through other things other than God. I'm not saying that God doesn't use the things of the world. I know this here, that when He gave me my Cadillac, I felt really refreshed. It's been fantastic, especially since the car I had did not have an AC, and this one does. But if I'm looking to get the deep meaning and purpose of life from that Cadillac, I'll come close because it is a Cadillac. But I'm not going to get it all. And I've come to realize that. For those of you driving those Toyotas, send me any letters. Thank you very much. So when Jesus sits back and says, "I am the living water that flows out of into every man, that wells up in eternal life," I want you to know that is the call which rings out from the very pulpit which I stand behind today. That same call that Jesus would put out in that last and greatest feast that day is the one He's giving out today. He's saying that it is the desire of the Father that you would come to the Son, for He is the way, the truth, and the life, to come and to drink from the fountain which is water flowing from the actual kingdom of God. Do you understand that living water is the headwaters that came out of the garden of paradise that watered everything around it? It's Him now flowing out saying, "This is the promise. This is the paradise. This is the kingdom. And I'm saying, come, drink from me." That's what I want you to do. So God, just as He did in the days of old, reaches out to His holy people by inducing drought to drive us to the stream And the only way that you can drink from the stream is you come down on your knees and you humble yourself and you get into the water. And this is what's going on. And this morning, as we continue in our series in Jeremiah, a series called Let It All Fall Down, let everything get out of the way that stands between me and my God and me being real with myself and me being real with God's people. I want it gone so that I can come and drink, if I will, from the living water and to fulfill every hope in my heart and live out my passions for Christ, even more so than my passions for anything else that exists in this life. That's what it means to walk with Christ. It doesn't mean just learning some scripture. It doesn't mean just coming to church, though I thank you so much for being here today and learning scripture, but that the passions for Christ would burn inside of me. That's what I want, because sometimes it ain't burning so good, so I want him to come and to move in me, to call me to him. So I'm going to pray real quick, and we're going to move into Jeremiah, and we got a lot of Jeremiah to go through, but this what? We're going to do it quick, Jimmy, so hang with me. Now, Heavenly Father, I just say, come. Holy Spirit, would you just come now and begin to draw your people to you? That's what you do. That's your job. And Heavenly Father, as we read your word, let it make sense beyond what it's ever made sense before. Grab our beating hearts in your hand. Arrest us, if you will, and pull us close to you. And that which is in drought, let it be discovered today, and let the true blessings of the kingdom fall. In Jesus' name, amen. If you got your Bibles with me, now we're going to go to Jeremiah 14. And I'm not going to read all of it for you, as we have been, because Jeremiah is a long book, so you got some reading to do on your own, Timmy. And that's going to be there, as you will see that going on, some stuff that is there, okay? Jeremiah 14, 1. This is the word of the Lord that come to Jeremiah concerning the drought. Verse 2, Judah mourns, her cities languish, they wail for the land, and a cry goes up from Jerusalem. The nobles send their servants for water, and they go to the cisterns, but they find no water. Now, those cisterns would be these made water pots or wells that would catch the rain and hold to it. And he's painting that picture good. He says, you're sending out people to go, you know, the nobles would send their servants to go, get me some water. And they're coming back saying, there's nothing. There's nothing to be had. They return with their jars unfulfilled. Dismayed and despairing, they cover their heads. Does that sound familiar to some of us in our lives? We go to find water. We go to be quenched. We go to find that thing in our life that just absolutely fulfills us. And we come back with our jars unfulfilled, dismayed, and our heads covered. He says, the ground is cracked because there's no rain in the land. The farmers are dismayed and cover their heads. Again, he says that. Even the doe in the field deserts her newborn fawn because there is no grass. Wild donkeys stand on the barren heights and pant like jackals. Their eyes fail for lack of food. Guys, this is poetic prophecies you see there. And that's why it's so beautiful, beautiful stuff. Although our sins testify against us, do something, Lord, as he reads now from the prose. For the sake of your name, we have often rebelled. We have sinned against you. You who are in the land like a traveler. Listen to this. He says, you who are the hope of Israel, its savior in times of distress. Why are you like a stranger in the land, like a traveler who stays only a night? Why are you like a man taken by surprise, like a warrior powerless to save? You are among us, Lord, and we bear your name. Do not forsake us. And for many of us, that feeling of like a traveler who just comes through for a night, we understand that. Our relationship with God, the sense of his presence and the sense of his power seem to be fleeting. And that we cry out that what, you're like this traveler who came. I felt you the other night. I knew you were there a couple of weeks. I knew you were there a year ago. I knew you 20 years ago when I gave you my life. But I've not felt you in a long time. Well, this is what the Lord says about his people. They greatly love to wander. They do not restrain their feet, so the Lord does not accept them. He will now remember their wickedness and punish them for their sins. This is Old Testament stuff he's throwing out there. And certainly, I want you to know today that Jesus Christ is coming, covering your sins and forgiveness, and as you come and repent, that is there for you. But if you want to continue to wander, as I often have, and we want to continue to go away from being faithful to our lover, our God, we're going to sit back and say, I miss my water. I miss my water. I miss my water. And for someone who walked away for 12 years and threw God off to the side because I had other plans and other ways to try to satiate my life, I wasn't so thirsty in that first year. Marty, I wasn't even that thirsty after a couple of years. After three or four, though, things got a little tight. In the fifth and sixth year, it got dry. And then it just got plumb bad. Desperate. Satisfying our thirst outside of God causes a drought of presence and power. You're going to see it. I don't have to tell you that. I'm not saying you're never going to feel God if you're doing bad things. I'm not going to tell you you ain't never going to lay hands on someone and see them healed even when you're in bad way. But you're going to find that absence and that drought in your life of his presence. You're not going to feel him. You're not going, if you don't walk on the road he walks on, you're not going to bump into him is what we say. Do you understand what I'm saying? So today, if you're feeling that, today, if it's something that's going on, saying, I want that drought to be satiated. I want you to come and move. 1 John 3:22 from the Message. I read from the Message. And if you remember old Eugene Peterson, he's kind of crazy. So just hang with me there. He says, we're able to stretch our hands out and receive what we've asked for because we're doing what he said, doing what pleases him. Again, this is God's command, to believe in his personally named Son, Jesus Christ. He told us to love each other in line with the original command. As we keep his commands, we live deeply and surely in him. You hear that, Frank? We live deeply and surely in him. And he lives in us. And this is how we experience his deep and abiding presence in us, by the Spirit he gave us. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. For those of us who suffer or are suffering in that drought, come. Lord, show me anything that stands between you and me. Show me anything that is grabbing my thirst, that I'm trying to slake my thirst with other than you. I want you. And sometimes I miss it. Come, Lord. Presence and power. And as you pray for yourself and you pray for our church, that's what you pray for, Lord. Your presence, your power. If I can, I'll move on, because we could stop right there and that'd be enough to chew on for a lifetime. But Jeremiah's got a lot of chapters, so we got to move on. He says this here in verse 19. I'm going to move on to 19. Have you rejected Judah completely? Remember, Judah is the southern country because Israel had split between Israel and Judah. Israel had been taken to Assyria, and now we're looking at the walls of Jerusalem, which is in the southern country, representing Judah, being taken by storm by the Babylonians, who are building a siege ramp against it. They're going to take the people in the city of Jerusalem. They're going to take them out to Babylon. And there it was Jeremiah's words, or he's saying, give up, surrender, because God's going to restore you, because what's going on in the city isn't righteous. So they say, have you rejected us completely? Do you despise us? Why have you afflicted us so that we cannot be healed? I ain't going to ask you to raise your hand, but has anyone ever felt that or prayed that similar prayer? We hope for peace, but no good has come. For a time of healing, but there is only terror. We acknowledge our wickedness, Lord, and the guilt of our ancestors. We have indeed sinned against you. For the sake of your name, verse 21, do not despise us. Do not dishonor your glorious throne. Remember your covenant with us and do not break it. Do any of the worthless idols of the nations bring rain? Do the skies themselves send down showers? No, it is you, Lord, our God. Therefore, our hope is in you, for you are the one who does all this. Is there anything in this world that can give us the rain that we need? Is there anything? And when we say idols, Keith, we often think of some wooden things that you brought back from your trip to Cancun. You need to put those away. But also, it's the other things that we go after, right? They just steal our hearts. And I've shared with you the things that have gotten me before. And they're simple. And I shared with you, one was I went through a time where I just kept going on eBay looking at guitars because it made me feel good. It was guitar porn. And And time would be wasted. And then I'd start bidding on them because I knew I couldn't win them, you know. I wasn't going to bid enough to win anything. But that's no fun. So I'd bid a little higher, and then I started winning some. And then I started, how am I going to tell my wife I'm winning this guitar? So then my prayers would come, oh, Lord, let someone outbid me. And so, and I'd wake up in the morning, and they wouldn't. Oh, praise God, praise God, praise God. Well, my son learned this week, some of you might have seen, that the best way to deal with that is you don't bid on anything. You just push that pay now button. And I went to lunch and come back and found that he had purchased $75,000 worth of guitars while I was at lunch. The teeth of the children are being set on edge by the by the bitter fruit of the child, of the parent. But I was able to call those people, and they were able to drop those charges, praise God. Otherwise, we'd be passing the plate again today. Satisfying our thirst outside of God causes a drought of peace. And when you are out there, that's what it is. It's, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. You got to bail me out. You got to help me. I've overspent my money. I've overspent myself emotionally. I've given myself the things that are robbing me of the joy of life. And I know I'm not alone in that. It just robs us. And some of us know the things we're doing, they're so wrong, there ain't no way to make them right. We all got those. But there's those little insidious things that are there that don't look so bad that steal us from God. And you know what those are too. But you find reasons to hold on to them because, well, it ain't in the Bible. It doesn't say to not do that. It's never said not to ram somebody's car. But, Robert, somebody did hit your car that you, yeah, no, I'm telling you, we won't say anything about it. Wasn't me. I'll leave that, but the things happen, not your car personally, but the thing is, I'm just saying, you want peace in your life? You're only going to find it with Him. That's it. And you can get that book that tells you how to find the giant within, awaken the champion, whatever you want to do. Because there is no champion here. There's no giant here. I'm just a weak man who's a loser outside the blood of Jesus Christ that I come and plead in my weakness and say, I need you. I make poor decisions. I need you. I make poor choices. And I ask you to forgive me because I need you. Let's go for the peace, guys. Romans 8, 5 through 6. You know that apostle Paul, he has a way of writing things, Marty, that are true. I can't stand it when he does this, you know, but he does it. He says, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. And the way you let the Spirit control your mind is you do make a decision when it comes to thought processes and what you time in. Put it with God. Go to His way. Give Him your way. Let's move on. I told you I was going to fly through this stuff. You're liking this. You get to write things down fast. It makes you good. That's good. The Lord said to me, chapter 15, if I can move on. Even if Moses and Samuel were here to stand before me, my heart would not go out to these people. Send them away from my presence. Let them go. Wow. This ain't the God you want to be messing with. I'm sorry. Well, good thing for Moses and Samuel, he'd pick them up and say they were great intercessors, and I always did listen to them. But even if I listened to them, even if they was here, that wouldn't mean anything to me. Now, for some of us, it'd be even if your grandma was praying for you, right? My grandma prayed me into the kingdom. Even if your grandma was there praying for you, I'd have nothing to do with you. That would break my heart. Verse 5 says, who will have pity on you? You hear that? Who's going to have pity on you? Who's going to mourn for you when you're gone? Who will stop to ask how you're doing? You've rejected me, declares the Lord. And I just want to put this one in and say this here. When we talk about the Lord, I believe in the body of Christ. And when we reject the Lord and we reject the body of Christ, and you go off to make your life better by seeking your own way, I just want to say I've never seen anyone leave the church to make their life better that made it better. I never have. And if you can send me an email and shut me down on that one. I'm okay. Just never seen it. Who's going to mourn for you? Who's going to ask how you're doing? Who is going to be the one who cares for you, the Lord says? Who is that going to be when you walk away? You keep on backsliding. Oh, I love that word. That was a word throughout all time. Us Baptist boys knew the word backslide. And I had me more than one glass of backslider's wine. But Jerry Jeff Walker's tune. And I will reach out and destroy you. I'm tired of holding back. I will winnow them with a winnowing fork at the city gates of the land, and I will bring bereavement and destruction on my people who have not changed their ways. Guys, I just want to sit back and say a lot of us are going through a time of deep bereavement. We've had a lot of that going on. I'm not here today to say that because you're going through bereavement, that you've been a bad person or even the person who you lost was a bad person. But I'm going to say that bereavement is part of this life. If you're going to love somebody, you're going to hurt. And the only one who's ever brought comfort that I've ever seen is the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, that comes and comforts. And I speak His power, and I speak His presence to come on you, and I speak the peace to come. But also, I'm speaking this over you, His protection, you see. Satisfying our thirst outside of God causes a drought of protection. We put ourselves in places where we're not safe. And one of the biggest things I see when we are in a place of bereavement and mourning is that often we'll put ourselves in unsafe places. Places where people take advantage of us, or even where we allow ourselves to be taken advantage of, because we pull away from those who love us because it hurts and we don't want to hurt anymore. And I got hurt by loving this person and now this person's gone, so I don't want to love anymore. And I find myself out there, as Jesus would say, as a sheep on the hill with no shepherd, wandering, to be taken advantage by every animal out there. I pray the protection of the living God over our lives, over each one of your lives, to protect your physical bodies, but also to protect your family's life, even as some of us will be traveling in the summer, all of that protection of the kingdom of God. Don't walk away from the protection. Don't put yourself in those unsafe places. Psalm 17, 6 through 8, and this is the New English translation, or the net. I like that. They got it. Yeah. I called you, for you will answer me, O God. Listen to me. Hear what I say. Accomplish awesome, faithful deeds, you who powerfully deliver those who look to you for protection from their enemies. Protect me as you would protect the pupil of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. That's what I want for my God. And anyone who's ever known what it's like to cover your eye in a time of distress, know it's the vulnerable part of your body. It's the place where the bee goes. It's where things fly to that hurt you the most. God says, I'm protecting you that way. Come into the shadow of my wings and find your comfort. I'm here, and I speak that comfort over you today. If I can, Jeremiah 15, verse 10. Alice, my mother. You didn't know his mother was Alice, did you? Oh, alas. I like it in Spanish. Ay de mi, madre mía. All right. Alas, my mother, that you gave me birth. Listen to this. This guy here, Jeremiah, he is the power of positive thinking rules his life. Listen. Oh, you gave me birth, a man with whom the whole land strives and contends. I've neither lent nor borrowed, yet everyone curses me. He's not a guy who's on the upbeat. But he's a guy who keeps beating the pathway to God. The Lord said, surely I will deliver you for a good purpose. Surely I will deliver you for a good purpose. Surely I will make your enemies plead with you in times of disaster, in times of distress. Goes down to verse 16. When your words came, this is him talking to God, I ate them. I took them in as the real truth. That prophecy you spoke that you had a purpose for my life. I heard that. I took it into me, made it part of all my life. For I bear your name, Lord God Almighty. I never sat in the company of revelers, never made merry with them, sat alone because your hand was on me and you had filled me with indignation. I'm going to put the word so in front of that. So why is my pain unending and my wound grievous and incurable? You are to me like a deceptive brook, like a spring that fails. And why I bring that out? Because that's what we feel. If you are that spring that wells up inside of me and you are the one who quenches my thirst, God, where are you? I believe what you said. I've lived my life for that, man. And I'm starting to feel like it's a lie. Satisfying our thirst outside of God causes a drought of purpose. And I'm just saying this, Jeremiah satisfying his life outside of God. I'm not trying to say that, nor am I trying to say that every time you experience a lack of purpose that you are outside of God. But I want to sit back and say, when you're experiencing a drought of purpose, the last thing you need to do is turn away from God to get it. You may think he is a failing brook and deceptive, but he's not. He's coming. The stream will flow. You understand that? Don't go trying to find your purpose elsewhere. I almost said don't go playing in waterfalls or something like that. There's some song about that. Huh? Don't go playing in waterfalls. I know I heard you. Don't play waterfalls, you're wet to bed. There's something about that. I don't know. Don't go chasing matches either. But here's the thing. It may feel dry, but he's good for it. Philippians 2:12, the Apostle Paul writes, says, my friends, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And we hear that, and boy, we hate that one because it means, oh, keep going. For it's God who works in you to do, in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. He's the one who's going to fulfill it. And I've got some things, guys, that aren't working the way I want them to. I know you told me to do this, God, and I'm doing it. Why am I not seeing the fruit of my hard labor? And he told me, because I'm the one who's going to bear the fruit. You do what I tell you to do. And I've often told the story of how when I first got involved in believing in healing, I was at a prison, and there was a girl, and she needed prayer. Y'all have heard the story. I laid hands on her. Very awkward moment. She was crying, so someone had to pray for her, and so I did. And when I laid my hands on her, I said, well, God, heal her. I didn't know what to do. And so she was knocked to the floor like I'd slammed her and jumped up and said, I'm healed, I'm healed. And she's yelling and all these things. And after that, I laid hands on another girl. And as I prayed for her, a demon was cast out. And, you know, I was like, you got to be kidding me. I just came here to play guitar. Wonderful night. One man said to me, hey, congratulations, you cast out your first demon. I'm like, really? My first? I was thinking that was enough for sainthood, isn't it? This is two miracles in one night. But I went home that night, and as I got home, there was a guy who was working on one of my roommate's cars, and he had a son who sat on the couch who had asthma. And the young kid breathed so heavy, I thought he was going to die. And his father sat there on the couch smoking weed, and so the smoke was billowing over the poor kid. And so the Lord said to me, I want you to go in there and pray for that boy. Bobby remembers that fella. And I went in there, And I said, can I pray for your kids? He said, oh, yeah. Lots of churches have prayed for my boy. Go ahead. So I started praying for him. And as I prayed for that kid, the heaviness of his lungs just increased. I got children with asthma now, and I take them to the hospital all the time, it seems like. And the more I prayed, the heavier he'd breathe. I thought he was going to just die. I'm not kidding you. Finally, at one point, I said, it's time to quit lest I kill the kid. And I said, thank you for letting me pray. He said, no problem, man. So I went back to the room, humiliated. And I got into my bed, and I said, how dare you tell me to go pray for this kid, and you don't even heal him. It's humiliating. The Lord said to me, I didn't tell you to heal him. I told you to pray for him. And you did what I told you to do. Basically, shut up and go to bed. We have a new saying. Don't we have a new saying, Joel? What's our new saying now? Put it on Facebook and let's move on. So he's already laid it. So now, the point I'm saying is I have a purpose and a call, and God's going to fulfill that. I truly believe that. And let's move on. Put it on Facebook. We'll move on. That's good. That's a good saying. I think it was Brian Fox who made that up, so give Brian Fox a big hand. Ooh, new saying. A new cynical saying. I love it. But it's verse 19, chapter 15. This is what the Lord says. If you repent, I will restore you that you may serve me. If you utter worthy and not worthless words. Some words. I mean, check out what he's saying. You will be my spokesman. Let this people turn to you, but you must not turn to them. I will make you a wall to this people, a fortified wall of bronze, and they will fight against you, but will not overcome you. I'm with you to rescue and save you, declares the Lord. And I will save you from the hands of the wicked and deliver you from the grasp of the cruel. And guys, for my life, when I first came back after those 12 years, and I've told you, I was sitting in a bar, and the Lord said to me, are you happy tonight? I said, no. He said, get up and walk out, and I will fulfill the call I have on your life, a call I'd had since I was 6 years old. And I got up and walked out. And these were the words the Lord began to speak to me. I will make you something. Right now, you're just a facade. You are fake. You are nothing but self-image that it corrodes and corrupts as the wind blows. But I will make you the kind of wall I want. You won't have to put that up. I will make you strong in who you are. I will make you strong in who you are because you will be in me and I in you. You can't bend to people. It's going to be lonely because you don't get to bend to them. But don't give up, because I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do in your life. And that's what I do. And they won't overcome you. I will rescue you from the hands of the wicked, from the grasp of the cruel. And I think many of us here today would say, I want to be delivered from the grasp of the cruel. I want your strength to carry on, satisfying our thirst in God provides a draw of salvation and wholeness. Not a drought, but a draw, a draft. And that is just full, just gushing out. And those of you who are beer drinkers know what I'm talking about. That keg of beer just popped open, letting it go. Now, I know that sounds bad to some of you because it's Earl would say that's alcohol abuse, but the thing is, get the idea of something cold and rich just flowing out. He's going to pour it out, and he is pouring it out in ways you don't even understand. That drop is an act or an instance of drinking or inhaling a portion poured out for drinking. Jeremiah 17. 5 through 8. I'm going to read this to you in another, and then we're going to let you go. This is what the Lord says. Curses the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh and whose heart turns away from the Lord. Now, I know I've read a lot of scripture here today. And those of you who get tired of all that mess probably turned me off. But I want you to turn back on. Turn back on for this. That person who trusts in people is going to be like a bush in the wastelands. They'll not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in parched places of the desert in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. Has no worries in the year of drought, and it never fails to bear fruit. Ken Ernst, that's the Jeremiah promise. He's not just bummer all the time. That's God saying, come back, come back, come back. This is what you got. This is what you can expect. Today, as we end here, we take communion together. And as we prepare for communion, I want to remind you, it's not just for people who are members of the Vineyard Church of Conroe. It is for all believers who are in Jesus Christ. And if you're here today and you haven't made Jesus Christ the one whom you would like to participate in such a thing as bringing in His sustenance, His being into yourself and making Him the essence of your life, giving your life for His in a way, saying, my ways for your ways, my decisions for yours. Then I call you to that today, that eternal spring that ring out and flows would flow today. Revelation 21, 5 through 7, as John had this vision on the island of Patmos. This is when he says, he saw one sitting on the throne. He said, look, I'm making everything new. And then he said to me, write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true. And he said, it is finished. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. And today the clarion call of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, the Alpha and the Omega, is sent out today. Come and drink. Let the drought be gone. And let the springs of living water begin to well up. Would you stand with me now? Now I implore you to feast with us with this. It's just bread, simple bread and simple juice. But it represents the body of Jesus Christ. It's in the bread, and the juice represents His blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins. And it is the new covenant that calls us into the depth and the deep relationship with Him. And we could not have that relationship if it was not for the blood of our Savior. And that sounds like funny, religious, hokey-pokey stuff. But we stand here today for the act of this Son of God 2,000 years ago. I ask the Lord to bless these elements. And what will happen, someone's going to come on the end row, and they're going to get the bread, and they're going to get that juice, and you'll come together in groups. And if you're a guest or just new, just hang tight, man. It don't take long. We're going to come in a group, and you just dip your little bread there in the juice. It's called intinction. I didn't make it up. I wouldn't make that word up if I did, but we share together in this body. We share together. And that's what we'll be doing. And we'll pray for each other as you need prayer. If you don't, then don't get it. Or don't ask for it. And, no one's going to make you. And then there'll be some of us in the front who'll be here waiting if someone would like particular prayer to pray with you about any of these things that are here. You may be going through a drought in your life, okay? Now, I ask you, Heavenly Father, to bless these elements. Let them be sustenance, and let them be powerful and meaningful for us. Not just a dead action, but a living, breathing participation with you, Jesus. Now, Holy Spirit, I ask you to bless. And Holy Spirit, I say, let us run down this aisle run down this hour into the hearts of us all, that we would see your living water in this church and in the lives of all who are here. Be blessed now in the name of the Father and the Son and the precious Holy Spirit. God bless you as we'll continue here now. Come